Welcome, everybody. This is Dr. Anton Raimundo on In His Sign Catholic Radio on WTMR 800 AM, where the Master reigns. And you're listening to Signed, Sealed, and Delivered, where we are signed with the cross of Christ, sealed by the Holy Spirit, and delivered through the Our Father prayer, where I hope to deliver to you a good Catholic perspective on scripture and make it practical for our daily lives. Happy Advent to all of you today. And, you know, this is approaching our fourth Sunday of Advent, and next week it's Christmas already. Isn't that amazing? You know, many times we all think it's about going shopping and getting gifts for others, but we can't forget, right, the reason for the season, you know, that motto, right, that it's Jesus Christ, our Lord, that he became flesh. He became a little baby in the virginal womb of our Blessed Mother. So today, what I want to talk about is the readings for the fourth Sunday, but cover topics that, you know, like when we go to Mass, that sometimes the priest is not able because of whatever reason, whether they only have 6 or 8 minutes to give a homily, but they don't really address some of the tantalizing questions. Maybe they do, maybe they don't. But I want to make sure in this program that we cover some of those tantalizing or questions that we all wonder, like, is it true? Did the Blessed Mother and St. Joseph have relations after they had Jesus and when after Jesus was a baby? In other words, did Blessed Mother and Jesus also, Blessed Mother and St. Joseph, were there any children from them as well? Doesn't scripture say that somewhere it says that that somebody says to Jesus that your mother, brothers, and sisters are outside? And so who are they? Is that true? All this comes about because, you know, the readings for this coming Sunday is almost the exact same readings that we have today for Thursday in the Gospel, but there's one curious added verse in there that does say something of the sort, where it says he had no relations with her until he bore a son and he named him Jesus. What does that mean? He had no relations with her until. Isn't that proof positive that this married couple had relations with each other? Of course not. This is why we need to understand it, because at first blush, it looks like they did, but they didn't. And so I have biblical proof for that if you haven't heard that already. And also, we'll also talk about, was the Blessed Mother, when it says that she was betrothed, does that mean that she was just engaged with St. Joseph? Or did it really mean that they were married? Because the curious thing is, why did they need a divorce if they were only engaged, right? So let's get into this and go into scripture line by line. So before we do that, let's start off like we always do with the Our Father prayer. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. All right. Well, I hope all of you are having a great Advent. You know, we are approaching the end of the year as well. You know, we started our Catholic New Year, right, with the beginning of Advent. And at this year, 2025, it was dedicated, or still dedicated, to the Holy Year, Jubilee Year, dedicated to hope. And for all the dioceses throughout the world, that will end on December 28th. But the Vatican will officially close the Jubilee Year for the of Hope on Epiphany, January 6, 2026. And so, you know, I always usually like to make sure we know the dates and the months. Why? Because we are born in time, and we will one day go from time into eternity where there is no time. So we have the ability to be able to change our lives for the better, whereas the angels only had one instance. They were given all the information that they needed to make the decision, should they serve or not serve God? Whereas we have the luxury of being able to learn over time as a child, you know, as a little baby through our adulthood, and to be able to change our mind if we went the wrong way, and to come back and to learn the truth and to be able to serve Christ, to choose Christ, and to live as to live and love God and our neighbor. And so, you know, with each month that comes by, we have to realize that the month and the time should be dedicated to our Lord. Every Thursday really is dedicated to the Most Holy Eucharist. And like I said, this year is dedicated to hope. But December, of course, is dedicated, you know, to the Nativity, right? The birth of Jesus Christ, his incarnation. And so, as well as the Immaculate Conception. All of these are tied in to the reading today. And what I want to do is jump right into the gospel for this Sunday. For it's the fourth Sunday of Advent, and also it's the same reading for this Thursday, for today, December 18th. So I'll read this now from Matthew chapter 1. It says, "This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. When his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found with child through the Holy Spirit. Joseph, her husband, since he was a righteous man, yet unwilling to expose her to shame, decided to divorce her quietly. Such was his intention, when behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, and he said, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary, your wife, into your home, for it is through the Holy Spirit that this child has been conceived in her. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins.' All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet: 'Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel,' which means God is with us." When Joseph awoke, he did as the angel of the Lord had commanded him, and took his wife into his home. He had no relations with her until she bore a son, and he named him Jesus." The Gospel of the Lord. All right. Well, I did add that last verse where it said he had no relations with her until she bore a son and she named him Jesus. Now, that was verse 25. And this Sunday, they don't mention that. They stop right where it says, "When Joseph awoke, he did as the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took his wife into his home." Now, as you know, when we go to Mass, they take excerpts from the scriptures. And here is one of those examples where this part, this verse 25, was not included for Sunday, but it was for Thursday. And some of you already know that if you went to Mass for 3 years in a row, every day in a row, if you went to Mass every day for 3 years in a row, you would actually complete the readings of the Old Testament and the New Testament. You would cover all the books of the Bible, covering the Old and the New Testament. So it's one. So for our other brothers and sisters who are not Catholic, they're Christian, they may have this belief that we Catholics are not scriptural or unbiblical, but they may not know, they may have just been misinformed, that every day of the year we read scriptures, and we do it a number of times, and we have this cycle where we read, well, we'll go through all the books of the Bible within 3 years and then do it again. So if you've been doing this for 30 years, every day going to Mass, let's say, you would have read the Bible, 10 different times. So you would have covered all the books of the Bible. Now, with that said, there are some people who are looking for gifts out there. Not that I have any links or any, say in this as far as, getting any kind of commission. But there are great ideas that you can look into about Bible in a year, right? From Ascension, that you can look them up, that they have these podcasts, Bible in a Year with Father Mike Schmidt. But then they have this Great Adventure Timeline, which shows that if you can follow the bloodline, the ancestors of Jesus Christ, and how it came through how it came through Joseph's line, but also came through the Blessed Mother's line. And then so you can, I recommend going through that and trying to start off for yourself or somebody, in your family or relatives, to get back into reading scripture so you can go look into the Great Adventure Bible by Ascension. They're based right here in Westchester where I live. It was a good friend of mine that started this, Matt Pinto. And in fact, one of his sons is in the seminary right now. There's another Bible too by the Augustine Institute called Bible in a Year, and they use the English Standard Version, the Catholic edition. And what's really good about that too is, you can start this any time of the year. It doesn't have to be January 1st because they number the readings for 1 to 365. So you can open it and use it at any day of the year. So day one, if you started, even if it was like, February 14th, that would be day one for you. Well, then there it is, that you would just start and you would end the next year. But it also has it where you can start on January 1st, of course. But my main point is that when you go through scripture, it will really help your life and be able to help understand the mysteries of your own life, really. The Bible is something that's God's word. It's from him, through inspired through the holy writers, so he can help us understand what he wants for us in our life so we can spend eternity with him in happiness in heaven. So let's get into this first part here where, since I introduced that one sentence, let's talk about that right away, okay? And that one sentence is the last one. It's actually from today's reading, Matthew chapter 1, verse 25. So if you want to try to remember that, it's the first chapter, but it's the 25th verse. Remember, Christmas is the 25th. So if you just look at that verse and you'll be able to understand this better. And it says, he had no relations with her until she bore a son, and he named him Jesus. So does that mean when we talk about the word until, just like, they didn't until, and then afterwards they were able to do so afterwards. In other words, something changed after that word until. That's how we moderns look at it, okay? And this ties in with the word betrothal, which I read at first, where it said, when his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, okay? So when we hear those word betrothed, or we hear the word until, they have a different meaning back at the time when Jesus Christ, when biblical times, than it is today. So the word betrothal today means an engagement. But back then, what it means, it was a special engagement there where they're actually married, and marriage has two phases. So betrothal in biblical times means legal marriage. And at the same time, this word until is not like how we believe it right now, where something occurs that's different after they say the word until. So, for instance, when we say he had no relations with her until she bore a son, meaning that, oh, for today, if we look at it with modern eyes, with our way of looking at words, we would say, okay, after Jesus was born, Joseph named him Jesus, and then they had relations, because isn't that what the word until means? Yes, that's what it means in today's words. But this was written by Matthew and inspired by the Holy Spirit. And of course, that we as Catholics the Catholic Church was started by Jesus Christ, and that we know that what is written here and the belief of the Church is that the Blessed Mother was perpetually a virgin, that she stayed a virgin, and it was prophesied that a virgin would bear a child, and that the thing is that she would remain a virgin even during delivery of the baby, and remain a virgin after having baby Jesus. So let me give you some biblical proof that the word until does not mean that things changed after that time period, okay? So in other words, we said he had no relations with her until she bore a son. So there is proof that the way the Bible writers use the word until. So let me pull up some scripture verses here. And so this is now from, I'm going to go to the end of Matthew. We just read at the beginning of Matthew, and I'm going to chapter 28. Now, some of you, if you are listening while you're at home, maybe you're preparing dinner and someone's at the dinner table getting ready, you know, it would be great to have scripture around. I mean, we would have that around our dinner table. We'd actually have our own lectionary, or, you know, a different, like the Word Among Us or the Magnificat or the Bible, so we can talk about things. And I had this for my family and the kids growing up. Anyway, so I want to show here, if you are at home or if you're just listening while you're driving or have you, Matthew 28, verse 20. I'm going on the New American Bible, the Revised Edition. And this is the edition that we have that when we go to Mass that we hear, okay, for us Catholics. And so here is the Bible verse from Matthew 28, verse 20. And it says, now this is Jesus, he just gave the apostles the Great Commission. And so he's giving them the power to, you know, he actually says, all power in heaven and earth has been given to me. And he commissions them. He says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you until the end of the age. Now, this is the very last sentence of the Gospel of Matthew, okay? And so that's another way to remember that here Jesus says, and behold, I am with you until the end of the age. So if we would look at it with modern eyes, using the word until, does it mean that Jesus says, and behold, I am with you always, but then at the end of the age, I won't be with you always? See, that wouldn't make sense, would it? Because Jesus is omnipresent. He's everywhere. And that at the end of the world, that he's going to be back, and also that we are going to be with him in heaven. And he's talking to the disciples. It says here in Matthew, verse 16, he starts off, he says, the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had ordered them. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but they doubted. Then Jesus approached and said to them, all power in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go and therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always until the end of the age. So the point here is when he was talking to the 11, and we know the 11 went to heaven. So does he, is he saying to them that, hey, I'm going to be with you. I'm good, you know, but when the end of the age comes, at the end of the world comes, I'm not going to be with you anymore. See, if we use the word until to mean that it'll change afterwards, then this would totally not make sense. Of course, Jesus is going to be with us always. He's always going to be with the apostles. He's always going to be with us in the end of the world. So this is what I'm trying to help you understand. The word until used in the Bible, here it is specifically, and it's by what Jesus's own words. He's not saying that, and behold, I am with you always. Well, how can he be with us always? And then the next word after says, well, I'm not going to be with you always when the end of the world comes. Well, wait a second. You just said, I am with you always, but not until the end of the world. You know, when the world ends, I'm not going to be, when the end of the world comes, I'm not going to be with you anymore. Well, of course not. That's not what he means. You see, and so that's why you cannot use that word until as saying that, oh, that the Blessed Mother and Joseph, let me go back to that, had no relations until she bore a son. No, it means that they had no relations and they continued not to have relations even after bearing a son and named him Jesus. The point is that they remained chaste. They did not have any relations. They both remained virginal. In fact, St. Joseph, another title of the great St. Joseph, besides one of my favorite titles of St. Joseph, is Guardian of the Redeemer and also the Terror of Demons. That's an awesome title, St. Joseph. But also another title is that he's the virginal father of Saint Joseph of Jesus. He's the virginal father, the virginal Joseph, because he and the Blessed Mother are virgins. And so it says here he had no relations with her until she bore a son. So that means they continued to have no relations after, just like. Here it is, the last verse of Matthew's gospel. It says, Jesus says, and behold, I am with you always until the end of the age. That means he's going to remain with us always, the apostles and all of us, through the end of the age. It's just going to continue. It's not like it'll stop after. That's my point. It'll continue through. So that's another way. So to look at it is they had no relations, going back to Matthew chapter 1, he had no relations with her, and that continued after she bore a son and after they named him Jesus. So that word until throws people off, and people misuse it to make it seem that the Blessed Mother and Joseph were not a special couple, that they were just like every other every married couple that has marital relations, but not the Holy Family. They were different. They were consecrated to the Lord, and that the Blessed Mother was known as the new Ark of the Covenant. And that I'm throwing something new into this conversation commentary that I'm having with you all is that the Ark of the Covenant, if you remember, that show Raiders of the Lost Ark, right? Back in the 80s, right, with Harrison Ford, and they're looking for the Ark and how beautiful the Ark is and has the two angels on there. It's made of gold and inside they have special, the Ten Commandments and the manna from Egypt there and the rod that's inside there. All that symbolized, those were inanimate objects that symbolized the coming of the true law, right? The law and the true Eucharist. So that would be Jesus. Jesus is the Word made flesh. He is the law made perfect. So we don't need the Ten Commandments. In that sense, we have it. We need it to help us understand God's will. But what's more important is God Himself in the flesh, and that's what Jesus was in the Blessed Mother's womb. Her womb was considered the new ark, where instead of having the Ten Commandments that was written by the Word of God, here is the Word of God made flesh in the Blessed Mother's womb. And instead of having the manna that would prefigure the Eucharist, we have the bread of life Himself, Jesus Christ, in the womb of the Blessed Mother, which is the new ark. And then instead of having the rod of Aaron or the staff, which symbolize the high priestly nature, it was Jesus Himself, who's the high priest, is in the womb of the Blessed Mother, which is considered the new Ark of the Covenant. Her womb, the Blessed Mother herself, it is more precious than gold, which the Ark of the Covenant originally was made. It was with acacia wood, covered with gold. And that was actually designed specifically by God. He gave instructions on how to build the ark, the dimensions, the height, the breadth, the width. And if you remember when the ark was being, now I'm not talking about the movie, The Raiders of the Lost Ark. I'm talking about the Bible story, the Bible event where they were carrying the ark across the River Jordan, and it started to tip. There's these wooden poles that are slipped in on the each side of it, so four men can carry, but it started to tip, and one of the people helping didn't want the ark to fall into the River Jordan and touched the ark and died immediately. They were not to touch the ark. That's why they had the wooden poles to help carry it. And so in the same sense, Joseph knew that he's not supposed to touch the ark, the new ark, that is, the Blessed Mother, specifically her womb. They had made promises to each other, again, being chaste, to remain virginal, even in their marriage. That may seem, you know what, some of you may think, well, how is that, Dr. Anton? Why do people get married after all? Isn't it the end goal is to have children? Well, yes, it is. But this was a very special marriage that was created by God. And so God created His own mother to make sure that she was immaculate, better than gold itself, to hold the Christ child. And so the thing is that I'm getting to the bottom of the hour here, and I will explain that it actually was not unheard of for married couples to be to remain virginal. In other words, to have people such as John the Baptist, he was a virgin and he remained chaste. The people as seen were this way. I'll get into this a little bit later after we take the break, but I just want to finish up this train of thought. There's other scripture verses that I still need to go and explain to you about the word until, and I will get into that after the break. So we're at the bottom of the hour, and then we'll continue talking about the scripture and how to use this word until. So let's take a break, and then we'll be right back.
You're listening to In His Sign, Catholic Radio. Empowered by the Holy Spirit. bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We often think of the scripture where the disciples were walking to Emmaus, where they said, "Were not our hearts burning within us as Jesus spoke to us on the road?" As we travel along the road together in our Archdiocese of Philadelphia and Camden Diocese, we thank God for our loyal circle of family and friends. Please consider sponsoring one of our new programs in the name of your parish priest, family member, or friend. It would be a beautiful way of helping us to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Give us a call at 610-527-2906 or visit us on the web at inhissign.com.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Dr. Anton Raimundo here on Signed, Sealed, and Delivered, where we are signed with the cross of Christ, sealed by the Holy Spirit, and delivered through the Our Father prayer. And we were just talking about Matthew chapter 1, where we were talking about what the word "until" meant, especially in relation to the last verse of Matthew 1, chapter verse 25. It said he had no relations. We're talking about Joseph. He had no relations with her until she bore a son, and he named him Jesus. What I was explaining here is the word "until" is not the same meaning or is used the same way we use it in modern times. I gave the example of how in the end of Matthew chapter 28, the last verse there, that Jesus says, "And behold, I am with you always until the end of the age." So we know that it does not mean he's not going to stop being with us, because he just said, "I am with you always." So he's not contradicting himself, just like this scripture verse from Matthew 1, chapter 1, where it seems that the Catholic Church is contradicting itself when it says that he had no relations with her until she bore a son. So how can the Catholic Church teach that Joseph and Mary remained virgins, they had no children, because it says here, uses the word "until," and I just gave the example that if we follow that modern way of interpreting using the word "until," then we would also, to be consistent, say that Jesus himself is being inconsistent by saying, "I'm with you always until the end of the age." Of course, he doesn't mean he's going to stop being with us until the end of the age. He's going to be with, it's just saying there's going to be there's going to be a time at the end of the world, but he's still going to be with us. He's going to come and judge us at the end of the world. But even at the end of the world, those people who are with him in heaven are going to always be with him. So, and who was he talking here to? He was talking to the disciples and especially the 11. So again, all these people are going to heaven, whereas all the other people who don't follow Jesus, yes, they're not going to be with him in the next age. But here he's specifically talking, it says, to the 11 disciples. He's commissioning them to go baptize people in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Why can he do this? Because he says, all power in heaven and earth has been given to me. And because he has all power in heaven and earth, he can commission mere men, and that's all he did. He only commissioned the men. He didn't commission women to be priests. He only commissioned men, and in fact, when he rose from the dead, he gave the apostles the power that was only reserved by God to forgive sins. That's why the apostles and and the Catholic priests are able to forgive sins, because that power was given by Jesus Christ to his followers. So people cannot do so if they don't have their power from God. They have to be ordained in the line of the apostles, which only comes through the Catholic Church. And that's why we have to follow what Jesus says, because he says he has all the power in heaven and earth that was given to him. And he has that ability to delegate that power to whom he chooses. And who did he choose? He chose the 11 men, those 11 disciples, to be priests, to baptize, to forgive sins, and to change his body, the wine and the bread into his body in blood. He could have chose women. He could have chose his own mother. He could have chose the holy women, but he didn't. Why? That's because he's God. He's the one that decides to do that. Anyway, so let's go now to another example of using the word until. And here's from the book of from the epistle, the letter to Timothy, is the first letter to Timothy by St. Paul. And if you remember, Timothy is a young bishop, and St. Paul wrote two letters to him because Timothy apparently needed some extra help. And here in the fourth chapter that he's instructing Timothy, he says in chapter 4, verse 13, Paul says, "Until I arrive, attend to the reading," which means scripture, "exhortation, and teaching." So what he's referring to, he's referring to public reading of the Holy Scripture. Remember, the Bible was not yet put together, right? So they're talking about, when they talk about reading or scripture, they're talking about the Hebrew Scriptures, which we Catholic Christians call the Old Testament. But all these letters are still being circulated, and some have not even been written yet, right? So, you know, we know Revelation was the last book of the Bible. St. John wrote this, so most likely this has not been written yet by St. John. So there's other parts of the Bible, of the New Testament, that haven't been written. So Paul is saying, until I arrive, attend to reading scripture, exhortation, and teaching. So does St. Paul mean here that when he arrives, then stop reading scripture, then stop exhorting, you know, encouraging each other, and stop teaching? So this is the trouble people will get into if they misuse the word until to force the meaning that Joseph had relations with Mary, because they will say, well, look, it says here he had relations with her until he bore a son, and he named him Jesus. Well, that's the modern way of how we look at things, how we define words now. And that's the trouble, what happens when people start interpreting scripture in ways that it's not supposed to be done. And all authority was given to the church that Jesus Christ founded. It was, and that's the Catholic Church. It was founded by God himself. The Catholic Church is not a denomination. It's the one church that was founded by Jesus Christ. And so there are no other churches founded by God himself. This is the one holy Catholic and apostolic church. And no one can ever claim that they have a church founded by Jesus Christ except the Catholic Church, because Jesus is God, and he proved it, that this is the church, his one and only bride. It only makes sense, you think about it. Jesus is St. Paul talks about how he is the head of the church, and the church is the body. it would be a malformation to have one head and two bodies or multiple bodies. There's only one head to one body. So there's only one church and one head. At the same time, since Christ is the groom and the church is his bride, it would also be wrong for Christ to have multiple brides. So he cannot have multiple churches. He would have to have only one church, one body, one bride. And there's only one faith, the Catholic Christian faith. And this is what Jesus Christ came to earth and established his kingdom, which is Christendom, Catholic Christendom. So anyway, going here to Timothy, again, the word, Paul is instructing Timothy, a young bishop. He says, until I arrive, attend to the reading, exhortation, and teaching. And so he does not mean that when he finally comes and visits them to stop reading, stop exhorting, and stop teaching and never do it again. So that's the point. You have to be able to read it in the way they mean in biblical times. I'll give one more, and then I'll move on to whether or not the Blessed Mother and Saint Joseph had children, even though I had already shown in Scripture here that the word until did not mean they had relations afterwards. So here's the other Scripture verse from Corinthians. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 25. And then it says here, for he must reign until he puts all his enemies under his feet. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. Now, if we use today's way of understanding the word until, we would say, oh, you mean Christ is going to reign, and then after he defeats his enemy, he's not going to reign anymore? Well, of course, he reigns forever. That's what it says in Scripture. His kingdom will last forever. So how can this be where he says, for he must reign until? Notice how those words come right after. He must reign until. Just like how the words in Timothy, he says, until I arrive. Does that? And then how in Matthew 28, how it says that I am with you always until. And then we go back into Matthew 1, it says that, that he had no relations with her until. So all of this does not mean it changed, it stopped, and then something else resumed, you see? And so all this is really saying is that Christ continued even after he put his enemies under his feet. He must reign even after he put his enemies under his feet. I'm just trying to help you understand. Don't be thrown off is my point. When somebody's going to try to confuse you and make you doubt your own faith, that the meaning of the word until is something that it doesn't mean like it is today. And so this is the problem. If we start believing that, oh, you see, it means until that it's going to stop and then do something else. Well, that's the problem, where we're using today's words in a different way. I'll give you another weird example. As a doctor, when I hear people, the young people will say, hey, that's sick. You know, that's really sick, or that's wicked. You know, they make it seem like if it's sick, it must be really good. But as a doctor, or just even as a regular person, who wants to be sick? But in today's language, the word sick is something that seems to be cool to those people who say that's sick. Or nowadays, some kids will say, that is wicked, and they even have a show called Wicked, and then make it seem that it's really good. But now, the word good doesn't make it, they're confusing it with the word wicked now. And there's a prophecy in Isaiah, where it says something of the sort. I think it's like Isaiah 7:21. I don't know. I have to look that up. Where it says, you know, what is white will be black and black will be white. And so things are just flip-flop right now about the different meanings. And so this is what I'm saying. Don't fall into the trap when somebody tries to tell you these words mean something they are not. And so just like then, if you fall into that, then they'll start saying that Blessed Mother and Joseph had children, had blood brothers. And so let's get into that part here where it says that Mary, he says that, you know, that the sons that in Matthew 13, it said that he had brothers, James, Joseph, Simon, and Jude. But you will find out that the what you call that was Mary, who is the mother of James and Joseph, is actually called Mary, the wife of Clopas. And you can see that in John chapter 19. And whenever they talk about Jesus, they say he's the son of Mary. They never call Jesus a son of Mary. And so that's very important to know that article, Mark chapter 6, they use the article the, not the article a, that he is the son of Mary, not a son of Mary. And the last thing to also help prove that those people that people thought that, oh, this is your brothers, James, Joseph, Simon, and Jude, and that they were cousins, all right? And so their mother was called Mary, the wife of Clopas. And the last thing is, when Jesus was dying on the cross, Jesus spoke to his disciple John and told that John would take care of his mother. And so that would be the wrong way to do it, to entrust one's mom to somebody else in Jewish mindset. Because if you have other brothers and sisters, that's who is the one supposed to take care of the mom. Well, and so, of course, Jesus wouldn't do anything that would be wrong. All right, so let's go to the part I covered that part about that Jesus did not have any brothers and sisters. So now let's go to the part about betrothal. I did mention that the word betrothal here, it said that when his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found with child through the Holy Spirit. Now, betrothal is the first stage of marriage. So don't be fooled when you hear people say that they were engaged. That's the way that the term is viewed now, but not then. Betrothal was the first stage of legal marriage. So literally, the both sides of the family would attend this ceremony. The bride and the groom, they would go through a ceremony and they would proclaim their vows. They would be married, but it's different from the second stage, okay? And so this first stage is they are legally married, and the only way to end a legal marriage is to have a divorce. And this is what Joseph had originally decided to do. It said that he was unwilling to expose her to shame, and he decided to divorce her quietly. That's what his initial intentions was. But when he went to sleep, that's when the angel intervened and told him not to do so. And so, again, a person cannot get a divorce if they're engaged. You could only get a divorce if you want to end a marriage, but you don't need to get a divorce if you want to end an engagement. That's clue number one. There's three other clues here that they were married. Again, remember, and this is it's Matthew chapter 1. And it says here, you remember Matthew was inspired by the Holy Spirit, and he wrote this gospel. So this is inerrant. So what Matthew is writing is is not wrong. So what Matthew says here, that he says, Joseph, her husband, he describes Joseph as her husband. So right away, Matthew doesn't say Joseph, her fiance, or her engaged. He says Joseph, her husband. So there's clue number one. Joseph is married, is considered a husband. And it says, since he was a righteous man, was unwilling to expose her to shame, decided to divorce her quietly. And again, you can't divorce somebody that you're just only engaged to, so they must have been divorced. And it goes on. Such was his intention when the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary, what? Mary, your wife, into your home. The second stage of marriage is taking your wife into your home. That also shows an indication why cohabitation is wrong, but that's another point. Here, the Holy Spirit, here is an angel who's a messenger of God. Of course, he's going to relay the exact message that God wants the angel to say. So here's the angel declaring to or stating to Joseph that Mary, your wife, that Mary is his wife. Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary, your wife. He's not a demon angel. This is an angel sent from God. He's telling the truth that Mary, your wife, you know, don't be afraid to take Mary, your wife. He's not saying don't be afraid to take Mary, your fiance, Mary, your engaged woman. No, he says marry your wife into your home. Clue number two, okay? And then he said, for it is through the Holy Spirit that this child had been conceived in her. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus. And then it goes on further when Joseph now wakes up from the dream. And then this is Matthew now writing. Matthew, again, it's inerrant scripture. He's inspired by the Holy Spirit. And when Matthew is writing this, he said, when Joseph awoke, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took his wife into his home. So again, he didn't say he took his engaged woman or his fiance into his home. He took his wife into his home. So there it is, three different times. Joseph, her husband, Mary, your wife, and it says took his wife into his home. Three times there it says that you can see that they are married, even though they use the word betrothed. And you can tell the word betrothed means marriage because Joseph made the mistake of thinking he had to get a divorce, which now goes to the next question. So I hope I helped answer that question that people may wonder, well, was Blessed Mother a single teenage girl who got pregnant illegitimately? No, she was a teenage girl who was married and had a legitimate baby. So it was not illegitimate, and they were married. All right. So here's the other part where about Saint Joseph. It said here that Saint Joseph, her husband, since he was a righteous man, and that's the key point, since he was a righteous man, unwilling to expose her to shame, decided to divorce her quietly. Now, some people may wonder, well, wait a second. Didn't Saint Joseph think that the Blessed Mother was unfaithful? Because look at, he wanted to divorce her, and at first blush, people would think that, oh, he didn't want to expose her to shame because she must have did it with somebody else. So I need to divorce her and get out of this marriage. Well, it said that he's a righteous man, and in a righteous man would follow the law, and in the law. And specifically in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 22, and also Numbers and Leviticus, they actually says, I mean, it says in those three books of the Torah, Deuteronomy, Numbers, and Leviticus, that if two people did so, lay with each other, they're actually supposed to be killed. They're supposed to be stoned to death, all right? And so since Joseph is a righteous man, he would righteously follow the just law and have her stoned. But he doesn't do that because he knows that she didn't do anything wrong. That's the whole thing. He's a righteous man, and a righteous man would never think the worst of his bride. He would believe her. He would know her, that she is not that kind, and that he would understand this is through the Holy Spirit. And so, in fact, that he knew the law of Deuteronomy chapter 24, that, okay, that he could get a divorce. But why would he get a divorce? Well, because he understood that the true spouse of the Blessed Virgin Mary is the Holy Spirit, who would overshadow, he comes to understand that the Holy Spirit would overshadow the Blessed Mother, and that would be the God's only Son. Okay? And so he, being a righteous man, was essentially bowing out of that, thinking, well, you know, her spouse is the Holy Spirit, and what am I to do here, you know? But it apparently the angel had to correct him and tell him, well, no, you are to take her into your home. She's your wife. You know, take care of her and God's Son, and you're going to be the guardian of the Redeemer. I mean, that's not what the scripture says here, but I'm getting into the writing from Pope John Paul II, called the guardian of the Redeemer. So if you don't want to believe me in what the different things of my own interpretation about Joseph, who was Blessed Mother's husband and foster father to Jesus, that it says in this document called Guardian of the Redeemer by Saint John Paul II, that it does show about how they were faithful to each other. They had no other children. That Joseph, being a just man, did not think the Blessed Mother was unfaithful in any way, and did not think of her in a wrong way. And so that's why the key word there is that he was a righteous man, and a righteous man would follow Scripture. And apparently he knew that if she did wrong, she would need to be stoned to death. But he knows she did nothing wrong. That's why he couldn't subject her to stoning. But he thought he could get a divorce because he knew that this was of the Holy Spirit. But at the same time, he didn't understand yet that it was from the Holy Spirit, but that he later understood that it was of the Holy Spirit. And so he was told not to divorce her. And so, again, Saint Joseph was married to Blessed Mother. Mary was his wife. He took her into his home, and that's when they had, you know, the second part of the marriage, where it was enabled to take her into her home. I hope all of this exegesis here and Catholic apologetics helps you understand, you know, that the Blessed Mother had no other children. She remained a virgin. Let me just quickly finish here as far as how in the world did she stay a virgin in giving birth. We covered her staying as a virgin after birth, you know, but, as far as not having any children, but anatomically, how would that happen? Well, we know that Jesus can, in his glorified body, can walk through walls. But so what's to stop Jesus from going through the Blessed Mother's womb and the Blessed Mother not having any pain? So in the same way, that can also be conceived or thought of, that Jesus could have that as well. So here's the point, where if the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, could have the Blessed Mother conceive and overshadow her the same way how the baby Jesus was able to go in the same way baby Jesus can come out. Anyway, we're at the end of the hour here. I hope you all enjoyed this program here, and I hope you we won't be on for next week and New Year's as far as a live program, but I wish you a happy New Year and a Merry Christmas to you, and God bless you, and thank you again for tuning in on Signed, Sealed, and Delivered with Dr. Anton Raimundo. God bless you all.